deterrence or not? That was the big question. The Supreme Court listened to oral arguments about the individual health mandate on Tuesday. Last day up Wednesday. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney broadcasting from the East Coast as we get the skinny on what the Supreme Court is looking into or listening to. There is certainly lots of skepticism over what's going to happen now with the individual mandate and whether or not the constitutionality of it will be upheld or whether it's going to be declared unconstitutional. We're not going to know the answer to that riddle until the end of June, possibly the first couple of days in July, because that's when the Supreme Court takes off for vacation. Perfect. Convenient. Make the ruling, get out of town. And that's what they'll do. This is going to come right down to the wire. Hearing all these oral arguments isn't on purpose. 6 hours it was set up that way. A lot of people worried that the tax question, the antitrust tax question, would be the stumbling block and would just ixnay the whole thing on the first day, but I didn't think that was really bound to happen since they had set it up that there was going to be 6 hours. So we move on. The individual health mandate, whether or not you got to get insurance by 2014, was the issue. And let me tell you, the person who faltered the most was the guy representing the government. The Solicitor General was way off his game. It didn't take a genius to figure that out. If you read any of the transcripts, you would certainly know that. But what can you read into certain things with justices during an oral argument? I guess that might be the question. You can kind of look at the comments, things that they ask, and what direction it looks like they're going, but it doesn't necessarily predict. I mean, it is pretty risky in one way to look into the crystal ball. Of course, as a talk show host, we are all about opinion, right? And so are you. That's why we love this, because you're always invited to chip in your opinion. 800-259-5791. Listening to any of this, what do you think is going to happen? You have Justice Anthony Kennedy, rather, one of the nine, who's the potential swing vote on the court, who definitely was going for the jugular during the day. When I say going for the jugular, was able to come back a lot at had the Solicitor General and had him tripping all over himself, I think, trying to come up with answers to the points that were being thrown at him by Kennedy, for example. Kennedy at one point, I scribbled this down, said, can the government create commerce in order to regulate it? And he said, that's not what's going on here, Justice Kennedy. We're not seeking to defend the law on that basis. And then Kennedy said at another point, we must presume laws are constitutional. But even so, when you are changing the relation of the individual to the government in a unique way, do you not have a heavy burden of justification to show authorization under the Constitution? So I would say that Kennedy had some big concerns over that one. If I was going to read into it, I would definitely have walked away thinking that. And I would think the same thing with the Chief Justice, John Roberts, who said that, you know, the argument is built on the idea that people can't control when they enter the market for health care or what they need when they enter the market. And he said the same, it seems to me, would be true, say, for the market in emergency services, police, fire, ambulance, roadside assistance, whatever. You don't know when you're going to need it. You're not sure that you will, but the same is true for healthcare. You don't know if you're going to need a heart transplant or if you ever will. So can the government require you to buy a cell phone because that would facilitate responding when you need emergency services? Boy, if you wanted to read the tea leaves there, I'd say in both of those cases, they're definitely, if I was just looking at that, I would say they're striking this down. They're going to say it's unconstitutional. But 2 months will probably go by before anything happens, or 2.5 months. So a lot of different things can, in that time period, a lot of different things could possibly change in 2.5 months to 3 months in the course of thinking the argument through and whatever, so who knows. At this point, if I were walking out of the Supreme Court after listening to everything that happened on Tuesday, I would say 5-4 goes according to makeup, period, end of story. But it still remains to be seen. And you know what, ladies and gentlemen? It affects every single one of us. So I'm not beating the drum on the same old topic, the same old leather shoe that we have been hammering out pavement day after day after day after day. It affects every single one of us, unless you happen to be a Trump or a Rockefeller heir or somebody who has an astronomical amount of money, because why do you care? You got enough money in the bank where anything disastrous happens, you write the check for $1 million, $2 million, whatever you have to write the check for. And you just don't feel the same way about health care that so many others do, is when they're trying to argue with insurance companies. And a lot of this could have been solved, we've said this before, by erasing those state lines and having the competition for health care in the first place. So when you have to compete for it, yes, there would have to be profitability, but there would be more options, and that would have made a difference decades ago. Decades ago. Coming up on America Tonight, I'm going to let you hear a conversation that I had, a little snippet of a conversation I had with Dr. Hugh Hill, who is an assistant professor of emergency medicine at Johns Hopkins University. And he served under two different administrations, the Clinton and the Bush White House years. Was an advisor on Medicare. So he has an interesting point of view on health in general and emergency care and what's going to happen in the future and things to look for in the as this thing either rolls out or gets cut off at the knees. And he was also an emergency physician, but also a health lawyer. So he's in an interesting position to talk about a couple of the things that are part of what will happen or won't happen or what's actually covered now and what should stand, because there are chunks of this law that Republicans and Democrats, I think, would agree on, and one of them is pre-existing condition. Nobody is going to disagree on that. I think everyone's going to think that's okay. And also, because it's affected so many people and is doable to erase that. The other thing is somebody who's 26, up to 26, staying on parents' insurance. I don't see that would be something that we would have massive disagreements on. The problem is, does the whole law get taken down as unconstitutional if the individual health mandate is ruled that way? Does that mean the rest of the health care that's been put in place now, does that all come down because it can't stand up after that? And that question we can't really answer either until we see what the ruling is and what the ruling specifically says and what it strikes down as constitutional, or keeps it as constitutional and nothing changes, or unconstitutional and something changes. Stay with us. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw of free enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, "It's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel." Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
In a coming-apart world, you need something to keep it tied together. That something is Atwood Rope, the highest quality rope made in USA from exotic braids for military, rescue, arborists, shipyards, tow line, or boating. Quality rope at affordable prices you and your customers can depend on. Find a dealer or shop online at atwoodrope.net. Enter promo code RADIO to receive 100 feet of 550 paracord free with purchase. Atwood Rope, working to keep the world tied together.
Talk about summer in this city. How those warm temperatures we had last week across the nation, a lot of people talking about crazy 75, 80 degrees, and then whoop, suddenly we're back to wicked March. In the east, it was so cold, I had to go out and buy a sweatshirt just to walk around Washington because it was freezing, and it wasn't what I was expecting. I guess that means you should pay attention to the weather a little bit more. Kate Delaney, America Tonight, we're kicking around the health care. Obviously, the health care challenge and what's ultimately going to happen with the Supreme Court trying to handicap the 9 justices now after today's bomb by the Dems, I would say 5-4. If I left that courtroom, I would think, based on what the judges said, that they're going to stick to the script and that's the way it's going to come down. Things could change perhaps in the next day. And in the last couple, in the next couple of months, is it's being individually decided upon. But boy, we'll see. We're going to jump to a couple of other things here in just a second. But before we do that, as promised, Dr. Hill, who's a health lawyer and emergency physician, has an interesting perspective. As I also mentioned, he worked for both Bill Clinton and for Bush 2. So take a listen to what Dr. Hill says. What's your biggest concern as we watch Medicare move forward? I mean, the debate is over what Medicare should pay for and what it shouldn't pay for.
And I had the privilege of working with that while I was at CMS. And we were trying to establish a non-political, scientific-based regimen for deciding what would be covered and what wouldn't. And truth to tell, there's still quite a bit of politics involved. Senator so-and-so will call up and say, my beloved constituent makes this in my hometown and employs 200 people, and I want you all to cover this. And Medicare, being the big dog in the insurance business, if they cover something, most of the private insurers cover it too. And what we need is a scientific way to make those decisions.
Yeah. The other thing that you worked in, and this was amazing, what now the crackdown has been, all the Medicare fraud that we've found and all the abuses. Is this just the beginning of it? Do you think the first shoe is dropped and we got another one to still drop?
There's an awful lot of fraud because of the denominator. When I was working with it, we got it down. The Justice Department and the Office of Inspector General thought that we had it down to about 5.5%, which is huge. But they were including fraud, waste, and abuse, so mistakes as well as intentional theft. But you take 5% of a multi-hundred-million-dollar program, a multi-billion-dollar program, and that's still a lot of money. The problem with Medicare and fraud still tends to be, even though I left there 10 years ago, the inability to be nimble. There's no prior approval process, so someone will send in a bill for something, it gets paid, bang, their computers generate thousands of bills for the same thing, scatter them all across the country. The payments come in by law within a prompt amount of time, and then when we figure out what's going on and we go to knock on their door, it's a deserted warehouse and the money's all been wired to the Caymans. So you've got a focus on the small mistakes that physicians and hospitals make with their billing that doesn't create a lot of support amongst the physician community for fraud fighting efforts, but it's the big thefts, the huge organized crime kind of thefts that we really need to focus on.
Yeah. All right, so Dr. Hill talking about what's going to be discussed with the Supremes. Medicaid, for one, is the big topic. At 1 to 2 East Coast time, that's what the Supreme Court's going to listen to. Right before that, the severability, that's what they're going to talk about, meaning can you break up this law? And that's huge. Are there pieces of it that will stand, like the pre-existing condition, like kids staying on insurance till they're, can stay on insurance till they're 26 years old? So, and, ultimately other things affecting Medicaid and the cost of Medicaid and what's being covered under it. It's not so much part of that Supreme Court oral argument, but a little bit of that would come out, certainly. All right, a couple of other things that would create that buzz that I'm talking about, that, you're sitting there going to work, you're running to go get a soda out of the machine, someone else is standing there hanging out, and you say, hey, did you hear about that pilot that just went berserk out of New York, JetBlue, flying to Las Vegas? Imagine what people are thinking in their mind when they're going to Vegas. R&R, can't wait to gamble, going to a convention, can't believe my company sent me. Whatever they were doing, they're going to Las Vegas, but they don't quite get there. They have to land in Amarillo, Texas. Why? Because the captain of the plane just displays some very crazy, nutty, erratic behavior, let's say. Running, described as running up and down the aisle screaming, say your prayers, say your prayers. Once again, somebody on a plane mentioning you're going to crash, screaming out things about Iraq and Afghanistan. Clayton Osborne is this guy's name. He's been identified as the captain of this flight that had to land. He had to be subdued. He was trying to smash into the cockpit after the co-pilot locked him out. Six or seven passengers held him down. They tied him up basically so that when they landed, that was it. They didn't have to worry about it. They had to subdue him. So they didn't have to worry about it. They could cuff him, take him away after that. How sad is this? So you have the FBI, the FAA, and the TSA all scrambling with the locals, the police, to coordinate what happened in this plane, what happened here. And his wife, somebody got a hold of his wife, and his wife said that there are different sides to every story. Just keep that in mind for whatever that means. But I don't know how you defend that. If the captain is out of control, out of the cockpit, screaming crazy rants around the passengers, there's just no call for that, and there's no defense for that, and he's in serious, serious trouble. The scary thing is, what is going on in the airwaves? Are people so wound up in knots that they can't do their job? Are they on some kind of medication? What is it? And maybe there's no relationship. It just happens to be a weird coincidence, but you have the flight attendant screaming that, getting on the PA system and talking about the plane crashing, that she can't guarantee the security and them having to haul her off. Then you have this thing with the pilot. I think I'd rather walk. It's such a hassle anyway when you go to the airport. Let's take trains from now on. I just want to sit back and relax. I don't want to hear anything about crashes or problems on the plane. And I'm sure all those people that were just relaxing didn't want to hear that either. Newt Gingrich can't relax anymore. He's way behind the pack. A lot of people, in fact, think he should just throw the towel in. But he's not throwing the towel in. In fact, he's cutting a third of his staff, reducing the schedule as part of what he's calling his strategy to focus on the convention. He's got a tight budget. So still feeling he can make that push at the end of the trail and refuses to give in, basically saying that he's going to keep going all the way. So he can keep going all the way, but he's not going to get the Republicans' money. The money is going to go to Mitt Romney because Mitt Romney has the numbers. Whether you like it or not, Mitt Romney is the guy. He's got the golden ticket in his pocket, and he is ready to cash it in and be coronated in Tampa, barring some unforeseen thing. And I don't know what at this point would be the unforeseen thing because he hasn't been hit with it yet. Whatever that might be. One quick note, too. I say an attaboy or a daily salute. How about this 37-year-old Virginia man who got the first, what they're calling, comprehensive face transplant? Is that not phenomenal? Do we not have great people in this country? So the docs at the University of Maryland, sweet! Yeah. They jumped up in front of the mics and started to talk about it a little bit. Richard Norris was the guy's name. And it included upper and lower jaw bones, teeth, a portion of the tongue, soft tissue, they say, from the hairline to the neck, over 36 hours. And it started, you know, that whole process started on March 19th. He was injured in a gun accident in 97, lost his lips and nose, had very limited use of his mouth. Sad story. And he had undergone a whole bunch of surgeries right before that transplant. And boy, he looks really, really good. This is radio, but let me tell you, he looks really, really good. I'm going to post a picture of it on the website. Just amazing what they're able to do. So congratulations to those doctors. What a great thing. What an incredible, incredible thing they were able to do with modern medicine. Complete face transplant. Woo! Kicking the can down the road. Hang with us.
For years, you've been hearing about Herbal Healer Academy and how it's remained the leader in effective, alternative, and natural medicine and education. But how can they continue to hold that title for years on end? The answer is high quality and huge selection. Just visit herbalhealer.com and shop online or request a free catalog. You're bound to find the alternative you're looking for. Did you know that Herbal Healer carries the latest, safest, and effective weight loss products? You can also count on Herbal Healer for the largest selection of safe and natural supplements just for children. And don't forget your pets. Herbal Healer even has natural mineral supplements for all your animals, including horses, cows, and birds. Take a peek at their online calendar, and you're sure to find everything you need and maybe something you didn't realize you needed. Visit HerbalHealer.com, and don't forget to sign up for the free Herbal Healer newsletter. HerbalHealer.com, working with the power of nature.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeSig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeSig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeSig.com. And LeSig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeCig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
If you are a sales professional and you love to help people and make money, stop everything and listen to me now. InspectorAudit.com is hiring brokers nationwide. InspectorAudit.com is the primary source for exposing all loan-related bank and servicing fraud. If you're passionate, driven to succeed, and you want to earn real money, then we want you. Call InspectorAudit.com right now at 855-552-9932. InspectorAudit.com, 855-552-9932. Commissions paid daily.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Did you know that how well your brain works is directly dependent upon how well your gut works? Did you know that an inflamed or compromised digestive system directly contributes to poor focus, depression, irritability, attention deficit, and hyperactivity? By eliminating the inflammation in your intestines and by having good bacteria populations, you may enjoy better brain function. The most important protein your body needs to keep inflammation down is glutathione. The number one food to support a dramatic increase in glutathione production is undamaged whey protein from grass-fed cows. Virtually all whey proteins are damaged by heat, filtration, and chemicals, except one. One World Whey is the most life-giving whey protein on the market. It is changing the lives of its users in very positive ways. One World Whey may act as one of the most important health foods to support your and your child's optimal brain function. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworldwhey.com.
So what's going on when it comes to flying on a plane these days? Raise your hand if you've been flying around a lot or just recently have flown somewhere. Did the stewardess scare you a little bit when she, Did the flight attendant, oh, so politically incorrect. Did the flight attendant scare the bejesus out of you by saying, we're going to crash, this is going to crash, I don't have control of it. Remember that happened recently on a flight. Now, this time, it turns out that the pilot loses control. Not control of the plane, but control of himself. This might have been one of the strangest stories that I heard on the day. Passengers had to wrestle this unruly, is the best word to describe it, or nutty or erratic, whatever, pilot, after he was on this JetBlue flight and he lost it somehow. This was a JetBlue flight that was going to Las Vegas, had to make an emergency landing in Texas because the captain was acting out of his mind. So he was locked out of the cockpit by his co-pilot. He was wrestled to the ground by the passengers. The plane's co-pilot, concerned by what was going on, locked the door behind the captain when he left the cockpit. That's what the FAA is saying happened there. And the passengers were just wild-eyed when they came off the flight, describing what happened after that, the fact that they had to be, they had to jump into action because the pilot ran to the cockpit door, was banging on it, was saying some crazy thing. We got to pull the throttle back. We got to get this plane down, all this kind of nutty stuff. Here's David Gonzalez talking about what happened on that plane.
I knew what was going to happen at that point. If he opens that door, you know, I wouldn't be here. He started to curse at me and, you know, try to tell me, hey, you better pray, Iraq and Iran and So I say, you know what? I'm going to show you what Iraq and Iran is. And I took him on a chokehold. I wasn't letting go of this guy until we landed the plane. I was still on top of this guy until we landed the plane. Actually, you know what? The one that should have all the credit is the co-pilot that was there. He changed the code on the door. He didn't let him back in.
Yeah, luckily, six or seven large guys stormed to the front of the plane, and they were the ones that were able to pin this guy down to the ground and have him subdued, as Gonzalez was one of those in describing that. Can you imagine? I mean, literally, when you get on planes, no joke, you have to be ready to spring into action because you don't know what's going to happen. The flight attendant says something kooky. The co-pilot goes nutty. Remember, you had another one of those flight attendants. This was, what, a year and a half, maybe 2 years ago, the one that parachuted out of the back of the plane. I mean, listen, you got to be alert when you fly. Make sure that you get enough sleep before you jump on one of these planes, because you really might have to somehow secure the flight. Now, that sounds exaggerated when you think of the thousands of flights there are every single day, but is this not one of the nuttiest things that you've heard? I mean, was he exhausted? Was it some pre-existing condition that set him off? Did he not have his pills? Was he taking medication? I mean, these are all questions, of course, that can be thrown against the wall. We don't know the answers to any of them. We know that the things he was saying were shocking. And luckily, Gonzalez is right that the co-pilot, boom, reacted immediately and changed the code on the door. You can see because, you know, now everybody has cell phones. There was a little bit of video of what was going on, and it showed that you could hear the voice of the pilot, and you could hear him saying, oh, my God, I'm so distraught. And he mentioned Israel and Iraq, and, you know, they had to subdue him. That's what they had to do. So once the plane lands, then you got the cops who meet the plane. They slam the cuffs on the pilot, take him off the plane, and then they try to figure out what was it that, you know, that led to this. What was it that pushed this guy to the brink? Is there something about what's happening in the skies that are stretching the flight attendants and the pilots to their ultimately their mental limits? You know? Huge, crazy story. Within weeks of what just happened with somebody else screaming crashes and everything else on the plane. Like I said, here's the thing. You look around these flights, look for the big guys, and hope that they're ready and able to take action when they have to take action, because that's what happened there. They subdued them. You have to subdue people when they're in this kind of a chaotic, crazy state. So we're mixing it up. We're talking about that. We're talking about some other things that happened on the day that I'm going to throw into the pile here because I don't want to ignore everything else. In Washington, D.C., obviously the big thing, health care and what the Supreme Court is going to decide. The individual mandate was front and center. Certainly is very unpopular, very, very unpopular, the idea of it was so, so, so many. We have talked about this ad nauseum on this show, but it affects us all deeply. It affects your families. It affects you as an individual if you don't have a family. You know, we have zigged and zagged all over this thing. I thought earlier in the day in talking to people that 7-2 people, a lot of constitutional lawyers, even those who were conservative, were starting to think that it was going to be 7-2 decision. Then later in the day, especially after the Solicitor General bungled the government's case, really, the arguments, then it was looking like 5-4 again, and the conservative judges would go in that direction, perhaps. But everybody is just looking for scraps, looking for signs. There's no way to know until this decision is rendered, and that's not going to happen until the end of June. Let's go out to Rick in Illinois. Hey, Rick.
Hello, Kate.
Hello.
Yeah, on this health care day, that if they rule it, they can't make you buy it. How can they make me buy and pay for Medicare? Because right out of my paycheck every time I get paid.
Yeah.
And then how can Roosevelt make me pay into Social Security? You know? I mean, how can they make you pay for anything if you can't pick and choose?
Well, that's the problem. You know, in arguing that, you can look at Medicaid, you can look at Social Security, and you could also roll back the clock, and many of us know and remember Newt Gingrich and others saying in the 90s that they were for the individual mandate. In fact, the individual mandate came out of a conservative think tank. And now it's turned around so much in 2012, and it means something completely different. You know, here's the thing, Rick. I think that all Americans really, what do we all want? Affordable health care, period, that you can count on when you've paid into the premiums for however long, that they're not going to cut you off at the knees if something happens to you.
Yeah, and the insurance companies can pick and choose what they want to cover,
yes,
too.
Yeah, and that's what the problem is. I think it's more, forget all the politics of this. I think it's the insurance companies, period. And that there should have been competition a long time ago for the insurance companies, because when they're the fat cat and they control all the marbles in the land, and there's five or six big ones, they're not worried. They're going to get their premium money, and that's all they're after, is your money. Until you're sick and you're really sick, then you're in trouble when they decide they're going to cap you out or cut you off.
Yeah, because I heard a woman say that she's pregnant, but the insurance denied her because she's pre-existing condition. So she didn't get no insurance cover for it when she had a baby and all that. She had to pay everything out of pocket. So.
Yeah. I think a lot of people would agree. I mean, even if they want to see the individual mandate struck down and some other things, I think that most people agree on the pre-existing condition. I don't think there's a big dispute there. They cannot take that away. I think that would be disastrous, because I think that's the best thing that we've seen. For kids already, they have it, and to kick it in for adults, that's huge. That's huge, and I hope that that's not taken away, and I guarantee any hardcore Republican feels the same way. So that at least should stand, and that's also part of the discussion, Rick, that they're going to have in this next day, is can they sever a few things out of it but keep some of it still in there. So tomorrow is also very big, or actually Wednesday is very big for this Supreme Court.
Yeah, just be interesting to see how they rule, I mean, how they come out.
Yeah, I don't know, because I say that because I really try to get a handle on it. I've talked to so many people in D.C., all sorts of people, and even those that claim not to have any bias either way. And earlier in my conversations, people were thinking 7-2 and it was going to be upheld. Now people are thinking 5-4. Then there's also the thought that, well, okay, maybe the mandate gets struck down, so that gets ruled unconstitutional, but everything else stands. And then there's, can it really be upheld without the individual? I mean, it's just crazy. But it has rippling effects for all of us, and everybody should be paying attention to what's happening here, because in the next year, the next 2 years, next 3 years, whatever happens, it's going to affect your bottom line some way, whether it's through your employers because they're scared off and they can't offer insurance, or premiums are going sky high, which already people are seeing happen. It's gone up 10% for some people, 8% for other people. And at some point, the merry-go-round has to end, really, for all of us. Rick, thanks for the call. If you want to throw in your 2 cents, please do. 800-259-5791. I remind everybody that on Friday's show, in our third hour, we've got another Nail the Score, because we're down to the final four. So a chance for you to win some fabulous prizes from America tonight if you can correctly guess the score. Came close last time, but nobody did it, including a wireless GPS is one of the things you would win from Magellan, and $100 worth of sausage, and a couple of other cool things from America tonight. Back with more on The Buzz in Your Backyard coming up.
Did you know that thousands of industrial toxins, including aluminum, heavy metals like mercury and lead, and even nuclear radiation, have contaminated the air, food, and water supply and are lodged inside your body? These contaminants are poisoning your body from the inside out. No, the government doesn't care, nor will they save you. Do nothing, and these accumulated toxins may slowly lead to degenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, heart disease, or cancer. Take charge of your health before it's too late. Liquid Zeolite is the best natural all-round remedy to safely and effectively
effectively remove all kinds of toxins from your body. Use liquid zeolite from RestoreYourHealthNow.com for fatigue, headaches, heavy metal poisoning, memory loss, and joint pain. Zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee and is available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of zeolite at RestoreYourHealthNow.com or call 800-880-9976. That's 800-880-9976. 100% safe and amazing. Try liquid zeolite today.
What you're about to hear will help you remember where to find the best water filter products at the best prices on the web. There. Did you hear it? BerkeyShop.com. With the newest Berkey products in stock, the best prices on Berkey products anywhere, fast free shipping, and the most amazing customer service. BerkeyShop.com. Home of all Berkey water filter products like the Big Berkey for producing clean drinking water by removing contaminants, chemicals, heavy metals, and even fluoride. Call 1-888-6-BERKEY to get your Berkey water filter. Perfect for home, travel, camping, or disasters. And BerkeyShop.com is the perfect site to get your Berkey because we're open 24/7 with free shipping and no sales tax. Even celebrities and NFL athletes shop at BerkeyShop.com. Call 1-888-6-BERKEY to order your Berkey products. That's 888-6-BERKEY or go to BerkeyShop.com. 888-6-BERKEY or go to BerkeyShop.com. For everything Berkey, shop BerkeyShop.com.
We all know the importance of having storable foods, but what about when the food runs out? What then? For real food independence, you need a supply of non-hybrid seeds. Introducing the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. The Survival Seed Vault is sealed for freshness and includes 20 varieties of easy-to-grow non-hybrid seeds for only $37.95. For less than $40, you've got real food independence. And the Survival Seed Vault includes detailed planting and seed-saving instructions. Imagine the barter power you'll have when the food supply does collapse. Right now, save $9 instantly when you buy three or more Survival Seed Vaults from MyPatriotSupply.com. Same-day shipping on all orders, plus free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness products at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Welcome back to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, Coast to Coast, and of course all those nooks and crannies in between. We've been talking about healthcare for a very long time. I've been to Washington several times. In fact, here we are in Washington once again. And the healthcare law, that's the big tug of war with the Supreme Court. We've certainly looked at this from the legal perspective. We've talked to several doctors. We're getting ready to talk to another one. We had the House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi say that the healthcare law actually helps people meet the goal outlined in the Declaration of Independence. I think I would disagree with that one. In our wings right now, in our virtual green room, is Dr. Violet, and she is a preventative and climacteric medicine specialist?
Climacteric, yes. It's hormonal aging for men and women.
Ah, there you go. I knew I could pronounce that word. You learn something new every day. And she has a vested interest, certainly, in this, and she's got a long resume. It would take us this entire interview to go through this. But she's also the president of International Health Strategies. And, well, from what I understand, the goal, Doc, is liberty and privacy and treatment options. That's one of them, preservation of the oath of Hippocratic Oath. Focus on the individual patient, and that's where this whole thing with health care, I think, gets lost in the sauce. Affordable Health Care Act, now 2 years and counting. It's cost $1.76 trillion over the last decade. What do you think that the Health Care Act has done so far?
Well, so far, I think one of the biggest threats that patients don't realize is the threat to their medical privacy and medical records. Because Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius just last October ruled that all private health insurance companies in the United States would be required to send their medical records on all patients they cover to the federal government. And when that happens, people are actually losing ownership of their private personal property, which is their medical record. Right now, your medical records are owned by you, and they are kept in a custodial role by your physicians. But they are your records. And under current law, you have a right to have a copy of them at any time that you request it. And when this information goes to the federal government, the patient no longer has the right to decline for the insurance companies to send it. As it stands right now, people can choose to pay for health care on their own and deny the records going anywhere except to the patient. So I think one of those privacy violations is a huge issue that most people don't even realize has happened. And health insurance premiums have gone up about 9% in 2010 and another 9% in 2011, in part because the health insurance companies, the private companies, are having to meet the new government mandates for covered services. You know, just because the government says that something's going to be free doesn't mean that somebody isn't paying for it. It's not free. Someone else is paying for it.
Yeah.
So you have an increase in premiums already. You have the jobs that have been lost and new ones that are not created because businesses can't afford the higher in premiums for health insurance to pay for all of the free services that the government now requires be covered. And you're looking at the fact that seniors are facing cuts to Medicare of over $500 billion to pay for medical care for younger people under Medicaid. So Medicare as we know it will not continue under the new health care law due to these kinds of cutbacks. And then there's the whole question of the Independent Payment Advisory Board and the unelected government-appointed bureaucrats, the 15-member panel that's accountable to nobody, that decides what your treatment will be, what you're allowed to have based upon your age and your quality of life years expected and what the cost is expected to be.
Yeah, you summed it up perfectly. You hit on all the major themes. The other question I have, and you know this because you're out there, you have a lot of colleagues, a lot of doctors that you've worked with over the years and people whose lives that you've touched and interacted. Do you hear this conversation that more of your colleagues are going to be driven out of the business because of it simply costs too much?
Absolutely, Kate. The problem is that private practices and smaller groups of two or three physicians are not going to be able to sustain the cost overhead of meeting all of the new requirements under the new healthcare law. So that means that a lot of the private options that people are used to choosing when they can't get help for particular problems with their health insurance plan physician, those avenues are going to be closed to them, just like we see in Canada today. I have patients who come to Dallas or Tucson from Canada because they can't get the services that they need under the government plan and the government clinics, and they can't get them in a timely way. And so rather than risk having more severe health problems or injury or more pain and disability, they come to the U.S. to a private clinic, pay out of pocket, and get what they need. Those options aren't going to be available for Americans, much less people from other countries.
Yeah. And the other thing is, too, it's like you think of looking for cures for things and better treatments. So how about new drugs and those treatments? Are we going to see that there's lack of development in that area?
I think absolutely we're going to see that problem. The drug manufacturers, the medical device makers are all being hit with new taxes, new regulations. It's going to slow down the innovation that America has been known for. In fact, over the last decade, the United States of America has been the country that has launched more than 50% of the entire world's new cancer drugs. And we're going to lose that innovation under these massive regulations. I mean, they're being smothered with the regulations. Doctors' offices are being smothered. Businesses are being smothered. pharmaceutical companies, medical device manufacturers, specialty practices, all of these kinds of facilities are just drowning in the new regulations already, and there are more to come.
Yeah. How dependent, if the Supreme Court doesn't shoot it down and it keeps on ticking, how dependent will we as Americans across the board become on the government when it comes to health care?
Well, if the Supreme Court does not find this law unconstitutional, then if it goes ahead and is not repealed after the next election, then 100% of American citizens will now be dependent upon the government as the allocator of the rights and the treatment options and the health care privileges that they will be eligible to get. The government's going to decide, and we're already seeing that being a very political decision. Look at the issues where faith-based organizations are being told that they must cover medications, abortion-inducing drugs, or contraceptives that violate their religious faith because of the political agenda of those in power. That is exactly what happens in totalitarian governments around the world. Healthcare is used to meet a political agenda, not a medical one. Mm. And my goal is strictly to help get the power back in the hands of patients and their physicians, which is where it belongs. It should not be a political issue. It should be a medical one between doctors and patients and their families.
Mm-hmm.
And
I agree
with you. If people don't take the reins of power back with this election, then once your health care is in the hands of the government, your life is in the hands of the government.
Yeah, how much does this hurt the patient-physician relationship overall? I would say tremendously if it goes through.
Oh, I think you're absolutely right. It's devastating. There's no more privacy in the physician-patient relationship because everything the physician says and does in your medical appointment is going to be turned over to the government under the new rules.
Yeah, and we'll see. What do you your best guess? Take a stab at it. I know this is, you know, we're sitting here kind of spitballing it, if you will. But what do you think the court's going to do?
You know, I don't have a crystal ball, but let me tell you this. This healthcare law, I've looked at this very carefully in studying the legislation and in studying the subject with constitutional law attorneys. This legislation violates the 1st, 4th, 5th, 9th, and 10th Amendments, and possibly the 13th, because it enslaves doctors working for the government at a wage determined by the government with educational requirements determined by the government. That's the definition of the slave master during the years of slavery in this country. So we're looking at massive violations to the U.S. Constitution, taking the patient's private property of their medical records for the government to use for the public good without the patient's consent is a direct violation of the language of